Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Manger now, Christ.
Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice, heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting love. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Jesus Christ, our Savior, born this day, angels sang in a lowly manger. He came down to earth and earth, bringing us new birth. Carol sing to the King, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Tidings bring, hail the King. Shepherds did adore him. From afar, by the star, wise men sought and found him. Praise his name throughout the earth. Tell the joyful news. Victor now o'er the grave, Jesus Christ was born to save. Carols sing to the King, Jesus Christ our Savior. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God Redeemer, Son of God, Son of Man, all I see. Carols raise, his name praise, he shall reign eternally.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come to your house of worship. And then again, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to see a brand new year, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you continue to watch over us and guide us. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with this country. We ask that you be with the leaders of this country. Give them the wisdom to consult with you first before they make decisions governing our lives. And at this time, dear Lord, we ask that you bless this offering. We ask that you breathe on it. We ask that you multiply it. And, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you use it as you see fit to edify your kingdom. These things we ask in your darling son, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians with me this morning. Actually, I'm going to be, the focus of this message this morning is actually Philippians 2, 5 through 8, but I do want to read verses 1 through 10, and you might say to yourself, you know, Brother Mike, I don't have any idea how you come up with these sermons, and that's probably true on my part too. I do try to think about it and pray about it. Most of the time, the link is something I need, something the Lord convicts me of. So I want to share the joy and give it to you as well. So anyway, Philippians, one of my favorite books. And of course, Philippians was a city in eastern Macedonia named after Philip II. Of course, Philip had a son who was a very famous guy. Anybody know that guy? Sure you do. Alexander the Great. And so this was a thriving center of Macedonia. It was very strong in Paul's day. And of course, the Bible tells us the Apostle Paul went there on a second missionary journey. He established a church there. He met a lady called Lydia, who was a seller of purple. Paul and Silas, of course, were eventually imprisoned there, but God, through his grace and his power, through a work of supernatural ability, shook that place open, let Paul and Silas out at midnight because of their singing, the Philippian jailer, of course, was saved. Not only him, but his whole household. So this relationship that Paul had with the Philippian church was a very strong bond between him and the Philippian church. And you'll see here in the first chapter, it says, Paul and Timothy, a servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, and with the bishops, the overseers, and the deacons, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that interesting that Paul would say, every time I think of you guys, and I remember you. For our fellowship, our joint effort in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is giving us a word there as well of confidence. Whatever God started in you, he'll finish it. He'll finish it. Even as it is meet for me to think this of all of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as in both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record. He's my witness how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. So Paul was definitely connected to the church at Philippi. Matter of fact, over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us another little interesting thing. He says to us that not only did the church at Philippi pray for him like he prayed for them, but they were some of the, actually this was the only church that Paul ever allowed to give a love offering to him. I don't know why. I suspect it was because Paul understood that they understood that they weren't paying him. They were giving to the ministry, and he gladly accepted that. Okay, so that's the background here. And now I want you to skip on down there to chapter 2. You say, well, I don't know why he did that. I just wanted you to find Philippians there. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's telling this to the Philippians, isn't he? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen. When Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, we've got to realize that, of course, the New Testament was written in Greek, and most of you understand that Greek was is a picture language. You know, we have all kinds of words that, you know, from French and German and all kinds of things like that. That just really makes it tough for a guy like me to be able to spell and things like that, because these are not really English words. They're from someplace else. But Greek is a picture language. When you say something in Greek, you should see it up here. You should see it up here. So he says, let this mind be in you. The word mind carries with it the idea of thinking. When you're thinking, okay? When you're thinking. So let this thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's telling us, think like Jesus. Wow. Think like Jesus. You know, some translations put their attitude. And that's not inconsistent. That's actually pretty good. So Paul is saying, let this mind be in you. So think like Jesus. Have an attitude. Attitude is an interesting word because it's not just simply going over something, it carries with it a thought to move. So, and that's what Paul is saying here. This attitude is thinking in action. Think like Jesus. Act like Jesus acted. Okay. Then he goes on down there. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We have said this many, many times. But the second person of the Trinity, the Word became flesh. That the psalmist says, and God spoke, and it was. That was the Word. It always brings a satirical smile to my face when the Pharisees begin to debate Jesus about the Scripture. And they're talking to the guy who wrote the book, who is the book. So the second person of the Trinity, the person who created all creation, has come and he's acted. He's moved among men like no other man ever taught or spoke. His actions, his behavior, sometimes it is just blows us away by what he would say and do. Many times in conflict with the Pharisees, you know, they would sit around. I can just kind of see them sitting around some kind of semi-dark room someplace going, how can we get this guy? He's too popular. We've got to bring him down a few notches. And of course, they would come up with something, you know. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Isn't it great in just a few months you can do that again? And so they thought to themselves, we got him on this one, because if he says no, we'll turn him into the Romans for being treasonous. If he says yes, then the average guy like you, you just love doing that, don't you? Filling out your taxes. Making that extra money out to them, send it to you. You just go to the mailbox. No, we don't like it. So they just knew, look, this is a beautiful question. Ask him this question. There's no right answer. He can't answer this question. But Jesus says, give me a coin. And then he asks them a question. Whose image is on the coin? Caesar. He said, well, then give that back to Caesar and render unto God the things that are God's. Wow. But he made himself, Paul says, of no reputation. He emptied himself and he took upon himself the form of a servant, of a slave. No. Yes. Was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was God, a very God. But he did not claim his divine prerogatives. Have you ever had the good fortune or ill fortune, whatever it might be, to have a dialogue with somebody or to meet in a meeting with somebody who's, they are very important as the world sees importance? Do you have in going a little bit of a trepidation? Sometimes when you don't know what's going to happen, it's oh my goodness, why did he want to see me? And you have a reluctancy to go and interact. Jesus didn't take any of that stuff. He came like you and me. The average person was not afraid of Jesus at all. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to interact with him. They wanted to be with him. And so that's what Paul is saying. Listen, he emptied himself of all these divine. He could have come and he could have demanded all kinds of things. He's God! You guys straighten up and fly right, or I'm just going to send you all to hell right now today. He could have said that and did that. But that wasn't the plan. And he assumed the role of a servant or a slave. The lowliest of lowlies. Though he was very God of God, Jesus did not hobnob with the rich and the famous, the high and the mighty, but he fellowshipped with, he ate with, you and me guys types. You and me guys types that the Pharisees said, sinners. Doesn't your master know who this guy is? Doesn't he know who Matthew is? Sure he did. Rather, he lived right among the poor, the needy, the sick, just plain folks. You know, as believers, we're in the household and family of God Almighty, and we are His children. We are royal ambassadors. We are high priests. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation. Remember when you were kids and you would go out in the sand lot in the backfield or something like that, and you're going to play some ball? Who was generally the captains of the team? The popular guys. Ricky over here and Jeffrey over here. It was never Dennis and me. The pecking order was there. We knew who was supposed to. And then, of course, wasn't it wonderful if Ricky said, Dennis, come on up. Get on my time. All right. right, okay, I'm all right with that. Amazing, isn't it? Paul says, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a very special people, that you should show forth what the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, friends, we are royalty. Jesus was royalty. They didn't recognize it. He was of the household and lineage of David. Herod was illegitimate. He was a king because the Romans backed him. The real king had come, but he didn't act like a king. We're royalty. We've been commanded, we've been commissioned to think and act like Jesus. He took upon himself, Paul says, the form of a servant, of a slave. Hold that thought for just a second, because I want you to go down to the next part as well. Not only from the idea of infinite God to finite man, not only from the owner and creator of all there is, great king, king of kings, to a servant, but Paul says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. In my Sunday school class this morning, a little bit, we talked about obedience. It was kind of interesting what some of my guys thought obedience was. I think you might have thought, that don't count. But anyway, he became obedient even to the death of the cross. Christ, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, became a man, put upon himself flesh, took upon himself flesh, and became a servant. And he humbled himself. And he showed forth humility, self-sacrifice, and servanthood in all that he did. You know, those are probably some of the hardest words in the English language for us to appropriate. To humble ourselves. It is hard for me. When I look in the mirror and see this literally Adonis character staring back at me, I think to myself, you know, what a gift God has given to my wife. This beautiful man. Heart, like, well, we better just not go there. These are the hardest words in the English language because they don't fit us well. Pride fits us well. Humility doesn't. Selfishness fits us well, but selflessness doesn't. We are schooled to be the servant. We're schooled to be the boss. But what is Paul saying? What Jesus exemplified in his incarnation, his ministry, and his crucifixion, the Philippians are to imitate that in their walk daily. Whoa. Humility. Servanthood. Selflessness or sacrifice. Remember that Christians were first called Christians at Antioch. Remember? And remember what that means. They were saying that these people are just little Jesuses running around. Little Christ. No greater compliment could have been ever made than that. None. When I was in Korea, one of my mentors, his name was George Appendath. I've talked about him a million times. He had all kinds of ideas what he wanted to do when he got to Korea, but none of those are what God wanted him to do. But God got him in the place and what he was supposed to be doing, he did. And part of that ministry was to the the young girls in the village, the prostitutes. That's what it was. There was another Korean pastor, one of the chaplains, an Episcopalian. Concerned about these girls. You see, it's not something that doesn't even happen today. Aren't there people who actually sell their children into slavery today? They do it. The Koreans, a boy child, that was important. So they could sacrifice one of their children to get that boy child educated and do whatever. But anyway, George ministered. We went downtown. We passed out tracts, did all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know half of that stuff. It was a tract. I couldn't read it. I think it talked about Jesus. I'm not sure, but I think it did. But one day we were downtown, and I was with George, and we were passing out a tract, and one of the girls said something and then made a gesture that was unseemly. And another girl grabbed her hand, and this is what she said. She said, "No, he's a Jesus man." Whoa! You see, what he had been doing was having the mind of Christ and acting it out. And it had effect. It impacted people. People, you didn't know their name, you didn't know who they were, anything. It impacted. Just as Jesus served others, Paul is saying, Philippian church, you be like Jesus. You think like Jesus. You act like Jesus. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is the basis, the foundation of all you are in Christ. Just as Jesus sacrificed himself, we too are to sacrifice ourselves. I'll tell you, that's not easy. Oh, wait a second. You presumed it and you're right. Paul is saying this to the Philippians, is he not? Sure he is. Is he not saying it to us as well? Yeah. We are to sacrifice for others. We are to serve others. We are to give up our privileges. We're royal ambassadors. People ought to be meeting us with a Mercedes and taking us all over town. We give up those privileges to glorify and magnify Jesus. That's what we're about. We too are to have that mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus. We're not supposed to be puffed up with self-worth, self-righteousness. We're supposed to be modeling, if you will, Jesus to everybody we meet. That's hard. We too, you see, live in a time when people get so caught up in themselves, our plans, our goals, that we neglect sometimes the more important things. Sometimes we just don't have time for that other person. If they would just get themselves straightened up. Judy, if you'd just have a flat tire on the right day. Isn't that what we say? I think. Listen, it's never going to be convenient for you to serve the Lord. It's never going to be that way. Never. And the Lord has a great sense of humor about all this kind of stuff. Sometimes, like I said, we get, I don't know, I'm sure you don't, but I whine about it. Oh, golly. Not again. Don't these people know what time it is, you know? I have to put my shoes back on. You never do that. But the Lord has a great sense of humor. I told you about, and one day I'm busted down 69 over there, and I come down that hill and I see this car sitting on the side of the road. It's a van. There's junk sitting outside the car. And I'm thinking to myself, this person's got a flat tire probably, but I've got to see T.B. Smith. I'm going over to help T.B. I don't have time for that. I'm running late now. Oh, man. All right. Pulled over, backed up, went back up. There's these two girls standing there. They don't know how to work a jack. They don't know how to do any of that stuff. That's why their junk was all over the back of the road. They had the thing full up. So I took the jack and jacked the car up, took the wheel off, put one of those little old skinny know-nothing things on there, you know. Helped to put back stuff in the car. And that one said, is there anything we can do for you? I said, no, that's fine. No, no, we want to do something for you. No, no, that's fine. Listen, we're going to Indianapolis. Oh, that's great, marvelous, you know. And then one gives me a little card. Rick, kind of like the card you gave. There's a really good little card Rick's got. Kind of like that, just a little card. So, okay. And here's this little card. Come in here and we'll treat you really right. Okay. So I'm walking to my car and I take the card and I looked at the card. The Kit Kat Club in Indianapolis. I think it's a strip club. I think I just changed the tire for two strippers. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't that marvelous? Here's the only guy on the face of the earth that doesn't want to go to the strip club. 18,000 guys went by who they could have got the blessing of the strip club, but they didn't do it. God, listen. It's about serving and being like Jesus. It's not the me first. It's not dog eat dog. It's not the survival of the fittest. It's not one-upsmanship. Bullies, we think, get the rewards. We think that servants get the shaft. But listen, Jesus became obedient even to the death of the cross. The worst kind of torture for capital punishment. We're to be like that. A little paper, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's high. The standard is nothing like you know about. Whew. But that's the standard. And it's very hard. And I will tell you, I believe it's an impossible life. I don't think you can do it. Save the Holy Spirit of God work in you. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You see, when Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, and we received that gift of salvation, our sins were forgiven. But God didn't just kick us out on the street and say, go to it. He said, wait. You're going to need empowerment from on high. You're going to need the Holy Spirit inside you. Because this standard's a godly standard. This standard's high. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. But in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and in power. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's impossible. Save that the Holy Spirit indwells your life. When you ask God to forgive you and ask Christ to be Lord of your life, He forgave your sins. He sealed you unto the day of full redemption. He gave you gifts and He empowered you to serve Him. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But what? Be filled with the Spirit. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but those last few days leading up to this glorious New Year's holiday, I never knew there were so many liquor places in Fort Wayne. Come on down. Half price sale today. You know, get this one, get something else. All that stuff. We even got a drive-up window. I wonder if they had a vomitorium someplace, you know. We cannot live like Jesus. We cannot have that mind of Christ in us without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Therefore, that's why it's very important for us to walk in the Spirit. We have to dedicate our whole being to have that mind in us. It's hard. It's hard. You ever read anything about George Mueller? He was a man. He was about 16 years old. He was in prison in England because they used to have debtors' prisons. If you couldn't pay somebody, they just come out and got you and put you in prison. So at 16, he was in debtor's prison. But after about 7 years, he gave his life to Christ. And at 28 then, he founded the Scriptural Knowledge Institute. It was kind of a Bible institute, taught the Bible. Kind of a precursor, really, to Sunday school. And then God allowed him to build 5 different orphanages. 5. 10,000 children in these 5 orphanages at any given time. That's a lot of folks. That's a lot of folks to care for. That's a lot of folks to buy milk for. That's a lot of folks to get some bread for. That's a lot of folks, isn't it? It's said that over 100,000 orphans came to his funeral and said, "That's my father." Well, you know, how did he do that? How did he travel to 42 different countries preaching the gospel? Guy had no material resources. How did he do that? How did he even preached over here in Minneapolis. How did he do that? How did he do it? The answer is he depended upon God and the grace of God to supply all his needs. And he did. And he did. He never had a fundraiser. He said, "Let's go, guys, we'll go out to the golf course here next week and we'll have a big fundraiser, you know, and we'll feed you a chicken dinner afterwards, you know, and hopefully you give us." He never had any of that kind of stuff. There wasn't any publicity that he put big boards up around London or something like that or wherever it was at. None of that stuff. How did it happen? No TV telethon. Well, they didn't have TV, did they? None of that stuff. How did he do it? Because in him was the mind of Christ. He walked daily in the Spirit. And his attitude and his thinking reflected Jesus so much that when people met him, they knew they had met a man of God. And they were saying, "What can we do to help?" Amazing, isn't it? I was going to tell you about the story about the milkman, but I thought of another one. This young man was studying. He was in a Bible studies class. And they were talking about walking in the Spirit. They were talking about letting the mind of Christ be in you. And he desired that. He wanted that. And he prayed about that. And he was, you know, "Lord, I want to be all that I can be in you. I want Jesus to be victorious in my life. I want to serve you and be pleasing to you." All those kind of thoughts. And he left the Bible study that night. And once again, he stopped in his car. And he prayed, "Lord, let me obey you. Let me be who I'm supposed to be in Christ and magnify your name. He got in his car and he started going down the street. And he began to think about milk. Now, unlike myself, he didn't drink milk. Boy, I'll tell you, I'd rather have a glass of milk than anything. So it was totally foreign to him. Milk. 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 He's going down the street. He sees a grocery store. Says, buy 1 gallon, get one free. Milk. He goes on down the street a little bit, and he sees this big billboard talking about milk. He's thinking, Lord, are you telling me to buy milk? That can't be. Two more things. Milk. Milk. Okay. So he pulled into the little 7-Eleven, went inside and bought a gallon of milk. What good is this? So he went back, got in his car, put the milk on the floor, started driving home. And now, he got in a traffic jam. He kept getting squeezed over into this right lane. Pretty soon he got up there and there was a truck there and he had to turn to the right. Now he's not going home anymore, he's going over here. So he's going down that way and he's trying to think to himself, how am I going to get back on the street to get home? I'm not, you know, something else. And he finally ends up in kind of a tough section of town on a street. And he's thinking to himself, Lord, why am I here? And why do I have this milk? As he's going down this street, it's one of those kind of streets. Don't you love those downtown where they park on both sides of the street and you can just barely get down the street? That was one of those kind of things. And he sees there's a house with a light on. But he couldn't park. No parking places. Oh, well, there was one. So he pulls off. Goes up to the door with his gallon of milk in his hand. Somebody from the other side of the door, what do you want? My name is such and such and so. What do you want? I don't know exactly. I have milk. Got very quiet. Pretty soon he heard tick, tick. Door open. Big bruising guy looked him up and down. He turned around. He called his wife. He said, honey, we've got milk. She comes racing down the hall. She takes the milk. She goes back the other way. He's still standing at the door. And then the man says, we haven't had any milk for the baby for a couple of days now. We're so concerned about him. We were just praying to God that he would send an angel by with milk. He says, are you that angel? Well, he wasn't an angel, was he? But he was an angelic messenger doing the will of God. It's so hard for us to do what we can't see. It's so hard for us to do something out of the rut. Out of all that training we've had all our lives that tells us to do this. You know, put your hand on your back pocket. Those people want your money. Do all this stuff. But the Bible says to us, he says to the Philippians, let this mind be in you. Think like Jesus. Act like Jesus. Now you say to yourself, All right. That's a fairly decent idea, I suppose. What's it got to do with the new year? I don't know what it has to do with your new year, but I've been thinking and praying, Lord, what would you have me do in this new year? And I came across that verse. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking the Lord's telling me, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's what I want from you. That's what I want from you. I want you to be humble. I want you to be self-sacrificing. I want you to be my servant, and I'll be well pleased, and I'll send you on missions. I'll give you something to do. I don't know if that has anything to do with you or not, but it did me. Father God, oh, it's so wonderful and so rewarding to serve you. We want instant gratification. We want instant reward. But you save the best to last. And you give us encouragement and you lift us up. You touch our hearts through many things that allows us to understand just a little moment, just a second, that was good. I'm pleased. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for interrupting my planned life and setting me on another course. Heavenly Father, I'm so sorry that I've been so caught up in myself that I'm a very poor servant. But Lord, I know every day can be a new day. I'm still breathing. I'm still living, upright, standing. Use me, Lord, in the days ahead. Maybe there's someone here this morning that might feel the same way. Encourage them. Let that verse in Philippians become a reality in our lives. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you and praise you for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our song of invitation?
Just As I Am.
Let's stand. Just As I Am. What a great song.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
I think Brother Greg's going to close us in prayer this morning, Brother Greg. Thank you for your attention this morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for today's message from your word. Help us to not just hear and know your word, but to follow your word. Lord, as Christmas is past, I pray the spirit of Christmas love, joy, and peace on earth, goodwill to men, continue throughout the year. You so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. Heavenly Father, what a gift of love it was. May the love you have for mankind, giving the world the greatest gift our Lord and Savior Jesus, be in our hearts every day. Lord, give us opportunities daily to let your love shine through us, that others may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. What a wonderful world it would be if we all share our love of Jesus with others. May we, as Jesus commanded, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The fields are ripe right here in our local communities. May we evangelize, baptize, and train those converted as disciples. Lord, use Calvary Baptist Church as a refuge for those that need to know Jesus and need to grow in their Christian faith. May all who enter the doors of this church feel welcome and feel your presence. Lord, I pray you bless this congregation. Be with us and watch over us this week. Bring us safely back next week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.